Grace be to you in peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today is a portion of the Old Testament lesson appointed for this weekend. The lesson is from Genesis chapter 4. The entire lesson is 16 verses. We're just going to focus in on the sermon through verse 9, but I'll read the whole lesson for you. It's the account of Cain and Abel. This is Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Here ends our lesson. Christ Jesus, dear friends in Christ, I'm wondering if you and your family like murder mysteries. It seems that this time that we've been spending in quarantine in my house, we've been watching a lot of old TV shows and old movies that feature a murder mystery. Somebody has to solve the murder, solve the crime. But what I've noticed as we've been watching some of these programs is that sometimes they'll stray from the regular format of how you watch a movie like that. What they'll do is they will, instead of starting at the beginning of the story and developing some characters and building up to the whole scene of the murder and then solving the crime, instead, they'll actually start with the murder. That's the very first scene. You see the murder and a few things in the aftermath, and then they take you back to the beginning to show you what all led up to that one tragic moment of the murder. And then somebody solves the mystery, somebody solves the crime. Today, we want to talk about a tragic story of a man. It's a story that ends with a murder. It's actually the very first murder that was committed in the history of the world. It's the account of Cain murdering his brother Abel. But to help you understand a little bit more about what happened all the way back then, and what it means for us, even thousands of years later today, I think what we need to do is we need to actually start with the murder. Start with the murder itself and a little bit of the aftermath, and then go back to the beginning to see what led up to it. Because really what we have to do today is we have to answer one basic question that Cain said to the Lord. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" It's a question that we still have to answer even now. Am I my brother's keeper? So, let's set the scene for you a little bit. We're going to put a picture up here on your screen just to set the scene so you know what's happened. Here is the murder scene, the opening picture, the murder scene. You see a lifeless body on the ground. You see the man's murderer slowly walking away. And in this artist's rendition, he's still holding the murder weapon in his hand, but he's slowly walking away after having attacked this person out in the field in a remote place. And to be sure, this was not some horrible accident. This wasn't some argument between two brothers that went horribly wrong. This was premeditated. This was all calculated. This was Cain luring his victim out into a remote part of the field where nobody would be there to witness anything. And there, at just the right moment, at just the right unsuspecting moment, he attacked his brother and he killed him so that he could, quote unquote, take care of his problem once and for all. And nobody else would ever even know about it. But here's the problem for Cain. Somebody did know about it. Somebody was there. There was a witness. Somebody saw it. God was there. God is everywhere. God saw it. He saw everything that had happened. And God confronted Cain about what he had done. He asked him a direct question. Cain, where is your brother Abel? And of course, his first reaction, his first inclination was to out and out lie about it and simply say, well, I don't know. And then Cain uttered those words that revealed what was really in his heart. Cain simply said in response to the Lord, am I my brother's keeper? It was Cain's way of saying, he's not my problem. He's not my problem. He's not my responsibility. Go bother somebody else. Those words from Cain are chilling, aren't they? Sends a chill up and down your spine, doesn't it? Not just because the attitude behind those words cost a man his life, but because that callousness and indifference has been plaguing the human race ever since. Yes, even plaguing you and me to this very day, even and especially in the face of a pandemic. Has it ever happened to you? Have the thoughts ever flashed through your mind? Oh, they have COVID-19? Not my problem. Or, they lost their job? They lost their business because people have been in quarantine? Not my problem. Or, going a little stir crazy? Need somebody to talk to? Not my problem. Go and let these people talk to somebody else. These people are not my problem. These people are not my responsibility. They got problems and issues. Let somebody else deal with it. That is not my thing. I need to focus on myself. But there was a reason. There was a reason why things got so out of control so that Cain ended up in the remote part of a field with his brother at that one awful, terrible, tragic moment. There was a reason why things had gone so terribly wrong and out of control in his own heart. And for those answers why, then we need to go back to the beginning of the story and talk about that. Because you see, Cain was the firstborn in the family. He was the firstborn of Adam and Eve. And to be sure, Adam and Eve were so excited when Cain was born. Eve especially, really grateful that God had allowed her to give birth to a son, because that meant that God had not given up on the human race. God had every right to just end everything when Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden. God had now allowed the human race to continue. And even more important than that, since their family line was now continuing, God was going to keep his promise to send a Savior to save the world through their family line. And then we're told that they had another son. His name was Abel. And to be sure, these two boys grew up in a believer's household, in a believer's home. Adam and Eve were believers in the one true God. And Adam and Eve made sure to teach their boys about the one true God. In fact, we're told that in a very certain sense, a very real sense, Cain and Abel even went to church. Just as you and I would bring an offering to the Lord when we come to worship, so Adam and Eve taught their boys to do the very same thing. Cain was a farmer, so he brought some of his crops as an offering for the Lord. Abel was a shepherd, So Abel brought some of his flock for sacrifice to the Lord. But that's where things began to unravel pretty quickly for Cain in his heart. This is what our lesson tells us. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry and his face was downcast. It's not that God liked sheep a whole lot more than he liked crops. If you remember what the lesson said, it said that God looked with favor on Abel and his offering. God did not look with favor on Cain and his offering. See, the offerings that they brought weren't so important to God as much as the faith or lack of faith on the part of the people who were bringing those offerings. God gave us a little bit more of an explanation, a little bit more commentary on that in the book of Hebrews. This is what he said. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And the Apostle John included this in one of his letters, his New Testament letters. He said, Cain belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. God loved Abel and his offering because they were brought with a heart of faith. God rejected Cain and his offering because there was unbelief in Cain's heart. No matter what his offering looked like to anybody else on the outside, whatever he was bringing to the Lord, it was meaningless and worthless to God because it came with an unbelieving heart on the part of Cain. And Cain knew it. It was written all over his face. He said he was angry. His face was downcast. And this anger and jealousy and rage just kept building and building and building in his heart. Things had reached a very critical point for Cain because our lesson said this. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." You know that phrase, sin is crouching at your door? That could also be translated like a wild beast at your door. God was saying, look, Cain, things are not right here. You are on really troubled ground, a shaky ground in your heart if you continue to let this jealousy and rage and anger go unchecked in your heart. Cain, we need to get this taken care of. I am here to help you. I am your Savior, God. Let's get this figured out together. But Cain would have none of it. Cain would only focus on himself. Do you remember the question that we are considering today? Am I my brother's keeper? Could you imagine if God had said those words about Cain, or even about you and me? Maybe it would have sounded something like this. Cain, yeah, not my problem. Not my problem. That's Adam and Eve's problem. Is he ruining his life? Yeah. Is his faith all but gone? Yeah, sure. Will his family kill him if they ever find out what he did? Well, yeah, they will, but really, he's not my problem. I did everything I needed to do for him. He's not my problem. He's not my responsibility anymore. Or he could have said, Adam and Eve, not my problem. I gave them everything that they needed in the Garden of Eden, and they blew it. They totally blew it. If Adam and Eve are lost, so be it. If their children falter and fail and they're lost too, so be it. Not my problem. Could you imagine if he said that about you and me? For all of the times where we show our selfishness, where we're much more concerned about being our own keeper than our neighbor's keeper, God could have looked at you and me and said, not my problem. You are not my responsibility because of your sins. Go bother somebody else. Am I my neighbor's keeper? You know, the reality is that Cain really didn't have a good reason to be saying those words, did he? Am I my brother's keeper? And God, for his part, didn't really need to give Cain an explanation to the answer to the question. God didn't have to come along and say, "Of course you are your neighbor's keeper, Cain. Of course you are. You are always obligated to look out for him. You are obligated to help him and protect him, shield him, doing whatever you can for him." You were supposed to do that long before you ever went out to the field, and especially after you went out into the field. Yes, Cain, you were always supposed to be your neighbor's keeper. That is your responsibility. God didn't even have to say those words. You know why? Because God had always been the example for Cain and everybody else to follow. God didn't have to say the words because he had been living the answer to that question all the time. Think about it for a moment. When Adam and Eve faltered and failed in the garden, God stepped in and he helped them. When Cain stumbled and fell after he killed his brother, God stepped in and he gave him that gentle warning and that offer to help. But Cain would have none of it. He still continued to focus on himself, even though God had been the example for him to follow the whole time. Truth is, God never had to say any of those words of explanation to you or me either, did he? God has always been our perfect keeper. We have to look no further than our risen Lord and everything that he's done for us. It gives us all the information we need, right? We know Jesus has always been our perfect keeper. Well, you look on the pages of Scripture, Jesus was the perfect example for everybody to follow, right? Jesus was always giving of himself. He was always extending himself, putting in long days, helping everybody that he could. You could always find Jesus healing people, helping people, praying for people. And for all the times where you and I find ourselves just acting selfishly, wanting to be our own keeper instead of looking to help somebody else, Jesus did just the opposite, didn't he? Jesus took a look at our greatest problem, and he made it his problem. Because in reality, we were the problem, weren't we? Our sins are the problem. So Jesus was our perfect keeper. He took all of our sins on himself, and he paid for them on that cross so that our sins are fully paid for and that we have this full and free forgiveness of our sins all the time. Just how badly did Jesus want to be his neighbor's keeper? How badly did he want to be your keeper? He wanted it so much that he actually became one of us. He became a real human being like you and me so that he could live for us in our place, so that he could die on a cross for our sins, so that he could rise from the dead on Easter to prove to us, to give every assurance that our sins really are forgiven. It's that love and compassion of our Savior in being our perfect keeper that gives us the motivation and the desire to be our neighbor's keeper. Now, I have to tell you, I always get excited. It warms my heart when I get to see that in action, especially during a pandemic. And I have to say, these days, God has given me a front row seat to watch so many of you be your neighbor's keeper, genuinely giving your love and your compassion and showing that love and compassion, not just for your brothers and sisters here at Crown of Life, but for your neighbors in the community as well. I have seen it. I have seen it where you have offered financial help and given financial help to people who have been hard by this pandemic. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their business. You've stepped up. You've helped them. I've seen it. I've seen it where you actually just put bags of food together and clothing together, and you just give it to the community. Whoever needs it, we are going to provide it for them, and you make it available to people. I have seen it where you ask your pastors specifically, who should I pray for? And specifically, what should I be praying about for them? So that when I talk to my Lord at night in my prayers, I can have specific things I can ask of the Lord for these people that are struggling. I have seen it. Where you just say, you'll contact the pastors and you say, look, I can help. I know I can help. I can. If somebody needs yard work done because they can't get out of their house, I can do that. If they need errands run because they can't get out of the house, I can do that too. Just call me. I can do any number of things. I know that some of you are calling folks in our congregation that have been isolated, because I call them too, and they tell me how these wonderful members of our church have been calling them to encourage them and to lift them up, and it means the world to them. I have seen it, where people are writing the cards, and they write the letters, and they send them off to people to lift them up, to let them know that they're not alone, that people are thinking for them, and thinking about them and praying for them, and it means everything to them. I've seen so many of these things from you. Warms my heart, makes me smile, because I know that God has so strengthened your hearts of faith that you don't even ask the question anymore, am I my brother's keeper? You just live it. You live it in your life because you followed your Savior's lead and his example. So here's my prayer. Here's my prayer. That our Lord and Savior, who answered that question so perfectly, am I my brother's keeper, with his life and his death and his resurrection, that he would continue to inspire and motivate you and me to really get out there and continue to be our neighbor's keeper, to live the answer to that question with our life too. Because by God's grace, by his grace, we are our neighbor's keeper. May God bless us to that end. Amen.